Thank you, Gary.
This is, I just wanted to show you a couple pictures of where we live in Papua New Guinea. This is called Sebega. It's just 10 minutes out of the town of Goroka. And it's not where the school is at Numanoi, but it's between Goroka and that place where the school is. So when we moved out of the tribe in 2008, we moved to the center, and we were on a support role. We were a part of the leadership team. And then member care and community relations with the village that lives, they're all around the fence line there. And that center also has people living on there that are itinerant ministries, where their tribal places are, the churches are becoming more mature, and so they're trying to give them time on their own. And so they're working on translations or just spending time out of the tribe to give the tribal church elders time on their own and to become stronger. You guys know a lot of this stuff already because of Dave Wright and Dan Wright and those guys. So, yeah, this is what we do. And we have a guest house there for the missionaries when they come out of the bush so they have a place to stay. And to relax and to also get take care of some business and stuff like that. So we also have a homeschooling coordinator living there, just to give you an idea of what we have there at that center. We also are involved in a lot of the churches that in the tribes that already have missionaries that have gone. They're from way before, you know, and they left churches and they're gone. Well, there's still some opportunities to do teachers training and just encouraging the elders from those churches, as well as ones that still have missionaries in them. But we also invite them out once in a while, and we have teachers training courses and stuff like that. And then similar to what you guys are doing with your Establish, we also teach them how to teach through the chronological lessons. And that's not just for New Tribes missionaries, too. It's for all the other churches as well in Pidgin English. And so that's part of what's happening there.
And if I can just add to that, if you look at the person that is actually by the chalkboard, that is a guy who has been trained, and now he is teaching other people how to teach and go through this whole process. So we're handing things over. We're allowing these people to have the privilege of, okay, this is not ours as missionaries. We've got the Word of God, but we want you guys to be able to take this and that you're going to be able to pass it on to other people within your own culture of Papua New Guinea. So this is a pretty amazing sight that we're seeing within our center of Papua New Guinea, of Sebega.
Yeah, and then the guy with the bald head there at the back, you know.
You see the back of his head?
Yeah, he sees the back of his head. He's actually one of the elders in the Asiana tribe, and he's got lots of experience teaching already, and he's doing very well, and they're reaching out, and they're encouraging other language groups to listen to their missionaries and all this kind of stuff. But he was actually in this session too, and he just said it was very encouraging to be part of a group of believers like that, as well as just getting some pointers and just to, you know, refresh them and get them encouraged and back into their tribes and on their way. For some reason, I think I'm pointing at the wrong direction. We are in charge of the central area, so there's the eastern area and the western area of Papua New Guinea, and we are overseeing all the missionary families that are in the central area. And there's about 35 missionary families. This is conferences that we have every year. And you see a lot of little kids, so there's a lot of, it's very busy time, and it's a lot of good fellowship time. But yeah, we're overseeing all their needs and trying to make sure that they're all functioning well and that they're going to stay for the long haul. And that, their needs are taken care of, but also just the practical stuff for translation, Bible lessons and literacy, stuff like that. So we love those people. It's amazing that they've all come to Papua New Guinea, you know. They've left their families and their homes, and they're doing hard stuff for Jesus, and we're just excited for what they're doing. Thanks.
All right, so thanks, Rosie. As we have this picture up, what I would like for you to just imagine, when people go overseas, they have left everything, okay? And now they've left parents, family, the church body, and now they are on the front lines. And the hardships that they face are unbelievable. And I cannot even express to you the hardships and difficulties that a lot of the missionaries go to you for you to be able to relate and understand. You have your own heavies and difficulties here, but out there, it's almost it's almost like it's tenfold. I don't understand what goes on out there, and I just think, man, there's the principalities and powers of, there's things that are happening that you and I have no control of. And these things are over us. And sometimes they're so strong that we are seeing some missionaries where I just can't continue on. So as you see a picture like this, I really encourage you, get behind people that are going to be going overseas and pray for them. Be faithful in praying for them. Today, I'm going to be speaking a little bit about being weary and tired. And today, as I talk about that, I want you to understand that we as missionaries, we go through difficult times. And we need a body that is behind us that is going to say, man, today I wake up this morning and I am going to pray for Terry and Rosie because of the difficulties and hardships that they could possibly face. Just recently, I was reading Ephesians chapter 6, and I wanted to just share this with you. Pray at all times and on every occasion in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all Christians everywhere. And then Paul says, and pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words as I boldly explain God's secret plan, that the good news for the is for the Gentiles too. I am in chains now for preaching this message as God's ambassador, but pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Folks, there is this difficulty and that missionaries go through, but there are encouraging things. I mean, amazing things that are going on. And today I'm going to be showing, allowing you guys to see a video of God doing a work within the Iski tribe of Papua New Guinea. But before I do, I want to actually turn with me through a passage of scripture, and I'm going to be reading through this passage. And as I go through, just really take it in. Take it in and say, God, teach me this morning and just help me to understand your word and your heart for mankind. I feel like I could talk about mission. I could talk about what goes on. I could talk about some of the crazy animals that I took care of. I could talk about these different things out there, the experiences that we have. And you could say, man, wow, that was spectacular. But please, let's this morning go to the Word of God and just say, wow, this is our God. So John chapter 4, man, why am I emotional? Don't you just love that when a pastor comes up and starts weeping before you? I understand my weakness, folks. I understand how good God is. And I want him to have total authority and reign and for you to just be moved this morning. All right, John chapter 4. We talked about the living water that's been already emphasized this morning, but let's look at this passage. Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is baptizing and making more disciples than John, though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea to return to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way, and eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who I am, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said, and this is a very deep well. Where would you get this living water? And besides, are you greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his cattle enjoyed? And Jesus replied, people soon become thirsty again after drinking the water, but the water I give them takes away thirst altogether. It becomes a perpetual spring within them, giving them eternal life. Please, sir, the woman said, give me some of that water. Then I'll never thirst again, and I won't have to come here to haul water. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied, and Jesus said, you're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet, so tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here in Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? And Jesus replied, believe me, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father here or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know so little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him. For salvation comes through the Jews, but the time is coming and is already here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for anyone who will worship him that way. In that little passage, that little portion right there, the Father is looking for anyone who will worship him that way. It just gives us a little bit of a glimpse, again, of what God is wanting. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah will come. So she's familiar with that. I know the Messiah will come, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then the disciples arrived, and they were astonished to find him talking to the woman, but none of them asked him why he was doing it or what they had been discussing. The woman left her water jar beside the well and went back to the village and told everyone. She left her water jar. She came to this place. She came to get water. She needed this to be able to cook or feed the family or do whatever. And here, the one thing that she came for, she left. She left to go back into the village. So the woman left her water jar beside the well and went back to the village and told everyone, come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus to eat. No, he said, I have food you don't know about. Who brought it to him? The disciples asked each other. Then Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Do you think the work of the harvest will not begin until the summer ends 4 months from now? Look around you. Vast fields are ripening all around us and are ready for the harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one person plants and someone else harvests. And it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others had already done the work, and you will gather the harvest. Amazing passage. And I would love to go deeper and to unpack more here. But the big thing that I want to focus on is that we have one section here where Jesus himself, you see his humanity. You see his humanity, and that is in verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well. We just sang a song that says, God does not grow weary. He does not lose that we, or he does not lose his strength. He will not grow weary. But here you have Jesus Christ in full humanity, and then also in fullness of his deity of God, being God. Here he is, tired and weary. This last term, being out in Papua New Guinea, we're involved with the leadership role, taking care of our missionaries that are in the tribe. So you saw that map, and then they're in the central area. We're taking care of 19 works. We're taking care of these works. One of these works I'm going to be talking about just shortly here is the Isky tribe. Three families, two American families, and then one from France, Paris, France. These three families, as they're learning language, they're going through this process. Two of the families learned the language. One family still pressing on learning the language. And that those two families that learned the language, they're getting their literacy, they're getting their translation for the lessons, and then also Bible scripture that kind of is all with those lessons, and they're doing all this work. They're strategizing. They are saying, okay, what is this going to look like for us to reach out to these Isky people that we've been living amongst for the last couple of years, learning language, building relationships? And as they're strategizing, now all of a sudden, they're butting heads. You're having one missionary family, strong, opinionated, another one that's a bit more caring, and they've got their different personalities, and then one, he says something, and the other one doesn't know how to take it. And so as they live amongst each other, they're finding, we are in a difficult place. How do we move ahead? And for us as leadership, we're kind of standing on the sidelines, and we're looking and we see there's some things here that we need to be addressing, or we need to be going in and seeing what are the problems. Is it sin, first of all? What is the problem here? Is it personality that, okay, let's try to work through this? These guys were tired and weary. They were tired and weary of ministry. Pressing on, trying their best. We've got to move forward with this because we want the gospel to change these people in this tribal location. And so, as I read this passage, I was thinking, man alive, I'm tired and I'm weary. I'm a leader and I've got to take care of these different needs around me. How can I keep going? And I've got to try to somehow encourage these couples to keep moving on and pressing on in their ministry. But I am tired and weary. What do I have to offer and to give? And I came to this passage, and God just, it's like he took his word, and you know how it is, sharper than a double-edged sword. And it penetrated me. And it was like, wow, this is God's word. It's like it split my head wide open, saying, you know what? I care, Terry. I care for you, and I love you, and I will work through you, and it's got to be me. It can't be you. You are tired, and you are weary, and I am the one that is going to be able to give you that strength. And God did. I came to that verse specifically where Jesus was tired and weary, and I was like, wow, Jesus, the Son of God, how could he actually feel tired and weary? But that side of humanity, thank you, just didn't want to come to me. I had man in my head. And here you have him just desiring to serve God. And you look it down in another part of that passage, and he says to his disciples, verse 34, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Do you think the work of the harvest will not begin until the summer ends, four months from now? But what is, you look at that section, verse 34, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God. Jesus himself recognized he needed to do God's will. We need to recognize, while we live here on this earth, what is God's will? Is it for me to get all kinds of things for my own gain? Oh, I need rest and relaxation throughout the summer. I've been working hard all year, and I need this, I need this, and I need this. And there are souls around us that need Jesus Christ. And so we need to be intentional and focused, just like those missionaries. They're intentional and focused to see that these Iski people are going to see Christ for the first time in their lives. And so they are planning and they're strategizing and they're going through this. And they want that nourishment. Because the nourishment, if you look in the following passage, see, guys, I'd love to unpack more, but I can't. There's not enough time. In verse 36, right at the end, what joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. My nourishment, God's nourishment for us is that joy. When you're obedient to following what God has for you, He is going to give you joy. And it is going to be so much greater than anything else. Somebody has asked me, Terry, what really kind of like excites you about what goes on on the mission field? And I said, the thing that excites me the most is when I've been obedient to the Holy Spirit. And, I mean, obviously I have. First of all, He's called me to go to Papua New Guinea and to serve there. But then as I'm in the midst of living amongst these people, and then to be obedient by the Holy Spirit to teach and to help and to encourage and do whatever He's asking me to do. But then as I'm teaching, I look at eyes. And all of a sudden, eyes, they start brightening up. And the excitement within their face of, I'm actually understanding what God's word is saying. When you're talking about Abraham and Isaac and that there was a substitutionary death, I'm realizing for the first time in my life that, you know what, Jesus is my substitute. And I'm just thinking, man, that is the most exciting thing that I love about the mission field. So here you have these three missionary families living in Papua New Guinea and they're struggling. And so what I want to do is I want you to see that they move forward and that they were able to present this gospel. So let's go ahead with the video at this time, if I could have the lights, and then we'll just have a last, I just want to share one last little thing here, and then I'll come up after that. Now I can take a breath and rest. Wasn't that wonderful? Just seeing, this is one man out of 130 people in that tribe that came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Isn't that amazing? Don't you feel like you want to clap hands? Let's just praise God because of that. Absolutely. In the midst of our hardships and difficulties, God will do His work. And here these three missionary families struggling away and having some of these difficulties. What had actually transpired before these missionaries had actually landed in that area was there was another tribe called Inupang, and that tribe had heard the gospel. Then Inupang had another neighboring tribe, Tongwat, that says, we need to hear what Inupang has heard. We need to hear that because God has changed their lives. Then Iski, further off, they see what's happening in Inupang and Tongwat, and they're saying, what has happened over there, we need that. You know what we're going to do? Is we're going to move from our different locations within the jungles, and we're going to come to one common area, and then missionaries can come and live with us right here amongst us. That they're not going to be spread out, we're not going to be spread out, but that we will be able to hear God's word. Who is going to be those missionaries to come and teach us? Well, these three families decided they're going to go in there, and then they presented God's word. Do you know what has happened? Just within September of 2017, so this was all presented, this presentation had all taken place in May of 2017. This is fresh, right off the press. This is what God is doing in remote jungles of Papua New Guinea and other parts of the world. Well, there's another tribe now that is neighboring to Iski. And you know what they're saying? They have sent a delegation of people to Iski, and they said in September, they said, you know what? We have seen that God has done amazing things here, and you guys understand something that we do not understand. And we need to have that. Send missionaries to us. I tell you, folks, 2017, September of 2017, this is hot off the press. People are asking for missionaries. They want people to come. Remember a while back where I was ready to do some juggling with you guys? Do you remember that? Some of you, yeah, okay, and some of you that maybe there's a lot of new people. Well, I didn't do it then. I'm short of time, and I'm actually over time, so I can't do it now either. And do you remember that I was going to actually, you know, put, I can't do that for you guys now either. Just not enough time. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to show you something here again. And this is just a little something from our tribe in PNG. The witch doctors would have this kind of thing, and they would go around a fire, and they would have this on their wrist, and they would go around this fire, and they're trying to find out where the sickness of a certain person within this house, where that sickness has come from, where their spirit has gone. And so this is just the thing that is going on with them, all right? So they're going around the fire. There's smoke. There's not a lot of fire. It's more smoke, and the whole house is just permeated with this smoke. These people, they need to hear God's word. You and I have something so spectacular that is within our hands. We have God's word right here within our grasp. I can hold this, I can teach you, and I can talk to you about something out of God's word. In this one passage, it says here in verse 26, sorry, my eyes are a little foggy here from, that's 26. I'll need my bifocal soon. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. We can know from this word that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the deliverer. Maybe there's somebody here within this service right now, this morning, that does not know the Messiah. Maybe you do not understand that this Jesus Christ has come and he wants to give you the living water. Maybe there is someone. And if there is, I ask you, come to know that man. He is wonderful, and he wants to give you that life, eternal living water. Talk to the pastors here in the church. Talk to some of your friends maybe within this church and say, tell me, how can I come to understand who this Jesus Christ, this Messiah is? All right. Now, lastly, I have brought all of this together. I've shown you a few things here, and just because of time, I want you to realize we still have over 2,500 people, groups, that do not have God's word in their language. Isn't that daunting? Doesn't that make you sad? Like, man, we've got God's word. I've got how many translations within my house? And here, there's many tribal people, the many people of the world that still do not have God's word in their language. Would you be willing to go? Folks, I'm throwing it out to you, and I know that some of you are aged where you can't go, but I'm looking to you guys as young people that are fit and able, that you can take God's word and you can help someone else to have it. Is God prompting you? Is God challenging you? Is he stirring your heart for that? Maybe it's not about going, but maybe it's about giving. Maybe it's about praying. Folks, we got to get behind this. And we got to be putting all of our energy into it. As I share these things, and as God maybe today is stirring your heart, may you just really pick up a prayer card afterwards and then write me an email and say, Terry, I think God's got something here for me.
I was at another church, and a guy came to me up to afterwards. And I was standing, just packing up some of my stuff, and a guy came with his wife and three children, and he says, "Terry, I feel like I need to go." Guys, we need people to say that. We're ready to go. Folks, Rosie and I, we're planning on going back in June, and we want more people to get behind us in our ministry. If you would love to be a part of our ministry, financially, prayerfully, whatever way that possible, please talk to us. Pick up a prayer card. If you don't have time to talk with us, pick up a prayer card and then write us an email. Let us know how things are going and how you could be a part of that. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you so much. I hold your word in my hand, and here we have just looked and taken a little glimpse of your word, and we thank you so much for the power of it. We thank you for how it changes us within our own lives, as one little verse can just really impact us. It can split our head wide open. Father, I pray for a blessing of this church, over this church. I ask that they will be more and more grounded in your word, and that they will trust it, and they'll have more confidence, and they will see that it is absolute truth. There is no other truth other than your word, and we praise you that you have given it to us and that we can understand your heart and who you are, how holy you are, and how sinful we are, and how much we need you. You need nothing. You don't need us. And yet you chose to shower your grace upon us and give this to us. And so we praise you, Father, for that. Now I pray also for someone who maybe is not saved, that doesn't know you and hasn't come into your family yet. Lord, I ask that you just remove those things within their lives, whatever's permeating in their own minds and heart of resistance against you. I ask that you just open up the doors for them to be able to understand your truth, and that they too will ask more questions, and that they will want to come to know you personally. Father, too, then I ask about the people who maybe are really challenged and saying, "I want to be a part of evangelism overseas to people groups that have never heard and people groups that don't have your word, and I want to be a part of that." Lord, may you just really stir and embed that challenge into their own hearts and minds also. Thank you for the opportunity and for the time that we have just to look at your word and for us to be challenged afresh again. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.